Morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. Greetings to you. It's a nice day out there, and we're so glad to see you in the Lord's house. So good to be here, and we're so thankful that the Lord has blessed us with another opportunity to come together to praise Him, to worship Him, and to seek Him in our lives. Isn't God good? Boy, He's just great, day in and day out. Welcome to each and every one. I want to share with you from Psalms 46. If you bear with me, I'm going to read this Psalm. This is going to also be the text for our message, or that's where I gather the message from this morning. It reads like this: God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the stream wherein shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, they uttered the voice of the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge, is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's honor him.
For him of worship this morning, I'm going to use number 64, sing first and third verse, and I'll have the prayer. It's all stand. Thank you for another opportunity granted us together in your household on the Lord's Day. Thank you now that we can come here and sing songs of praise and hear that word proclaimed. Be with us now through the further exercises of our service and give us some power and glory in your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now for a communion hymn, we're going to be 153, first and fourth verse.
Alas, indeed, my Savior be, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, spare not verse of the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there my blame, I received my sight, and now I am happy.
Lord's table, I'm reading from Matthew chapter 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, will not drink of this fruit of the vine from that on until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's house." Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for the blessing you bestow upon us as we get around your table and partake of these emblems. We're especially thankful for your Son that gave his life that we might have life and have it eternal. We pray that you'll be with us this morning through this service and the things that are done. We'll be pleasing that side. We ask that you be with Benny's and bring the morning's message. Forgive us when we fail. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, we're just so thankful and grateful for this gorgeous day you provided for us. Thank you for the ones that gave a special effort to be here this morning, kind of safely here. We just thank you, Father, for many blessings you give us each and every day of our lives. You give us the ability to have jobs and earn a salary and return just a small portion to your kingdom, Father. We pray that that blessing, the amount of 10%, just give that back to the Lord. Get him the first 10%. We pray, Father, that be a blessing to this community around here, and we gather more people as days go by. Attend your services. Give us a chance to show what the Lord can do for you. Again, Father, we're thankful for your love and your watch care over us. God, guard and direct us as you see fit. And we pray all these things in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
Last week I announced that Hemsing was going to be at Minersville, but last Sunday evening late we got a message that it was going to be at Oakland. And so it's in the bulletin there. It will be at Oakland Christian Church next Sunday evening. So hope that several of you, or many of you can, would plan to go with us and be there and support the churches. Let's see. Anything else taking place? Okay, on our prayer list, I noticed here that we have several new ones, and I didn't get to check on those, what was going on with them, but... we do know that we mentioned last week Phyllis Bruin, and which is a neighboring down the road here, not very far off, and kinfolks to some of the families here. And Phyllis is now under hospice care, and so be much prayer for them this week, and maybe things will turn around. But it looks like that. I think the doctor even said maybe a week that she might. Last another week, but we don't know that. But anyhow, pray about that. Pray with them and for Mr. Bruin, and several of you folks here know what they're going through right now, and so you can certainly pray with them in those things and such. The rest of the folks on here that we've had several for some time, just continue to pray for them and be thankful. I asked Tina about her father. I hadn't asked her here for a couple of weeks, and he's just doing great, and we're just so rejoicing, you know. I mean, he was in very bad shape. I guess it's fair to say that, but the Lord is blessing, you know. I mean, prayer is a wonderful thing, and prayer is a very strength for people, and it's just great to see God's working in answering you people's prayers and so forth. And so keep praying for each and every one on here. If there's something here special that we need to know about, well, please share with me. I'm sorry I didn't get around here and ask Donna for the new ones here that, you know, can you share something with us about your Mary Lou Hendricks and Gene Swank and Dorothy Whale?
Gene Swank is it's Collie's grandfather. He's had cancer, and now he's having really bad headaches,
okay.
And they're trying to get those under control. Dorothy Wiley fell and hit her head, but I think she's home now doing okay.
Okay.
And Mary Lou had colon cancer and had surgery this past week, and she's at home. So
okay,
they got fixed before I could get things done with the books.
All right. A lot of things happening in people's lives, and so... Again, on the rest of our list there, If you know something about this, you can share with one another and share with us what's going on in their lives. Why, please feel free to do that because we want to be concerned about what's going on. We want to be able to pray for that particular thing. As we've mentioned before, you know, I mean, it's good for us to know in most cases for us to know, and in some cases it's not, and don't worry about it. But pray for those specific things and needs in people's lives, and I think it's profitable to do that. And so continue to do that. You people are so good at praying, and the prayers have been answered so wonderfully, and I believe, like that song, there's power in prayer. And so keep it up, folks. And for our country, certainly for those who are caring for the people in the care homes, and as I've said, the hospitals, doctors, and so forth, so wonderful. And just wonderful. We have the people that have sacrificed to be able to put themselves in a position that God can use them in a great way. And maybe God puts them in a position sometimes, I think, and so forth. But I just think that it's so wonderful how God can minister to the people through people. And that's really what he does. And that's the only way we have to share in the gospel is through people like you. It's the only way that we have encouraging one another is people like you encouraging each other. And God just uses people like you to do good things for people, other people. And great things come about. Those our service people, and as we mentioned before, we've got a disturbance that's going on between a few couple of nations here. And just let's pray that, you know, that more people doesn't have to be caught up and sent off to war and lose innocent lives and so forth. So just pray hard against that. Pray hard against Satan and his wickedness. And he's always wanting to stir up trouble. And he stirs up trouble with the nations. He stirs up trouble in our nation. He stirs up trouble in the church. He stirs up trouble in families. And he's the one that's behind it all. So we want to pray against him that he be put down not able to hinder God's good people. Pray for each other in the church. We say that week after week after week, and I want to continue to say that, you know, because week after week we have different needs, different things we're faced with, and so when we know that, pray for each other and encourage each other in their walk with Christ, and just whatever you can do to just uplift each other. You people are such a do such a wonderful job of that, of encouraging and uplifting people, and so forth. I just want to thank you for it. I just want to encourage you to continue to do that, you know, and just share the wonderful good news of Christ and the cheer that we have in the Lord. That's great, and so forth. And so as we come to our prayer time, we have a great and wonderful God, and you know that. And God is interested in every little aspect of our life, and you've experienced that. Big things, big operations, he's interested in. Little bitty things in your life, those little things that sometimes we just take for, just kind of overlook, or we don't think much about, he's interested in those little things also. He wants all things to work together for good for you because you love him, and we're thankful for that. Let's thank him for it in our prayer.
Our prayer hymn is number 196, singing the first and last verse, and Robert will have our prayer. It's all said.
When we walk with the Lord in the sight of his word, what a glory he sends on our way. What a beauty would be, he abides with us still, and another will trust.
invitation hymn number 331, 331. At this time, the choir brings special.
Small, but little in number, but they're strong in voice, and we appreciate that so very much. I always leave somebody out. As you notice, Virgil isn't with us this morning. He's been absent the last couple of weeks, and Virgil thought that I talked to him through the middle of the week, and he thought he was doing better, but then he's not doing as well. And so continue to pray for Virgil. And then continue to pray that things get worked out for him and so forth. And okay, praise the Lord. All right, let's pray that things will come together for him. So two of our elders are, keep them at the top. Well, I've got them at the top of my list, and keep praying for them. And God bless you. This psalm, if you have been keeping up with the daily Bible reading for the congregation, you read this yesterday. And Psalms 46. And God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Not from trouble, but in trouble. This psalm's, I'm not sure what is behind this psalm. It says here to the chief musicians for the sons of Korah. And if you know Korah, he's... And twice in this psalm, we have Jacob mentioned, and that's another sermon there also. But to me, I when I read this and it goes back and I kind of get a little bit from it, but I'm not sure that this is the backing of that psalm. But back in 2 Kings chapter 18, 19, if you remember reading back there, we had Hezekiah was king. And Sennacherib was the one, was Syrian strong arm. And Sennacherib was going forth, and he was taking every place he could and overpowering them. And so Hezekiah, he decided to get a bunch of the little colonies, so to speak, around there, coastal places there, allied together, so that when Sennacherib come, he would have a refuge, that he would then have Jerusalem would be his refuge, and he would be protected by these other outlying little colonies. Isaiah was a prophet at this time, and you can read about this also in the first three chapters of Isaiah. So as Sennacherib was coming forth, Hezekiah was a good king. If you remember, we talked about the kings. Hezekiah was a good king. He did what was right and proper in the sight of David, his father David, and so forth, and such. He was a good king, and he tore down a lot of the idol worship places and such and so forth. And Isaiah had told Hezekiah that there was going to be a siege and so forth. And in so many words, he was saying that Sennacherib was from Assyria, the Assyrians was going to come against him. But Isaiah told Hezekiah, don't fear God. And in this psalm, we see some of that. He says, God's in the midst of her, in the city of God. The city of God is what is Jerusalem. And so he was saying, God's going to protect Jerusalem. But Hezekiah evidently doubted somewhere along the line. And Hezekiah said, I must make allies, so that will give me a little protection. That will give me a little sure inroad to overcoming. In fact, Hezekiah, if you remember, he's the one who drilled through the rock to the pool of Siloam and run the water into Jerusalem so that if they did come under siege, they would have water they'd be able to then withstand them for some time. Well, what Hezekiah was doing was putting his faith, I guess we could say, in the little allies here, the Phoenicia and such there, and the southern Philistines and such. He was putting his faith or dependence upon them, keeping Sennacherib away from him. When this psalm says, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Now, as Sennacherib came and overcome all the little coastal allies he had, he stands now before Jerusalem, and he's besieged that. And if you remember reading back there how that there was conversation taking place up on the wall with the Sennacherib's troops and so forth, and that night, and something happened, because the next morning, Sennacherib and the Syrian army, they were gone. But outside of Jerusalem, there was thousands of dead men, thousands of dead soldiers. Now, what happened, nobody knows. We kind of suspect it, no, don't we? So, that was exactly what Isaiah said. Jerusalem will not be touched. But see, Hezekiah put his dependence in the little allies that could not help him. So I wonder, I don't have to tell you, we're living in a world of trouble. There's trouble everywhere. Just look around. You don't have to go looking for it. It comes to you. It comes knocking on the door, certainly more often than what you want. I don't know about you, but I like good old Western movies and so forth. And I always like The Rifleman. And if you ever watch The Rifleman, there every episode, trouble finds him. It always comes to him. If he's not in town and trouble comes to him, it comes to him out on his farm. Wherever he is, trouble comes to him. And that's about like us, isn't it? It comes when we least expect it. We're going, think about yourself. You, You may be in your nice little convertible. You're going down the interstate. The sun's shining so beautiful down on you, and your music is turned up, and you got no care in the world, and you're just traveling right on. And pa-punk! And all at once, your car goes to the right. And what's happened? You hit a sinkhole. You hit a pothole. And now the right wheel is all out of joint, in trouble. Oh, how quick things can change. How quick things can change. We're not sheltered from trouble. This verse says, in trouble, we're in there. God is our refuge in it. He's not going to keep us from it. In fact, Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble. In this world you'll suffer persecution. You'll have troubles. God is our refuge. Now the question I want to ask is this. Are we kind of like Hezekiah? Or do we, you know, try to hedge up against our troubles? Do we look and depend other places on our solving our problems, our difficulties, or our troubles? When God has already said, I'll be with you, that was a promise of Jesus, wasn't it? I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never desert you. But then yet we get in trouble, and where do we go? Sometimes isn't the Lord the last place we go? We go looking at other places. We ally up with somebody, some way, somehow, to take care of our troubles, when the answer's right here. The answer's right here. That God is our refuge. If you remember, and some of you do, I'm sure, in our Sunday night Bible study, we studied one time about the refuge cities. We've talked a little bit about the refuge cities that our politicians are arguing over and so forth, you know, and some wants a refuge city here and some wants it there, some don't want it, and some wants to put the immigrants in those cities and so forth. The idea is when you got there, you would be safe. It was a refuge place, a place of refuge. And so that's what God is. He's our refuge. He's our safe place. He's our shelter in the time of when all of the calamities comes upon, all the difficulties and such we have. God is our refuge. He's our safe place. He's where we run to. Hezekiah should have just done what it says here, be still and see God. What it says here, he says that be still and know that I am God. Isaiah done spoke to him. Isaiah said, God is telling you here, Hezekiah, stay calm, stay cool, you're all right. God's not going to allow harm to come to the holy city, so to speak, which was later the great holy city where God dwelt on earth, so to speak, and certainly there was going to no harm come to it. But he didn't do that. He relied on somebody else to help him. And so I want to ask again, where do you go for help when you have troubles? Where do you go for help? I think when we talk about this, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be shook. Now when we talk about the mountains here and talk about the earth and the mountains, you know what those two things represents in the Bible? Those two things represent the most, there's another word, solid place, the most firm place, the strongest places. You know, we talk about the foundations of the mountains and so forth and how they hold and so forth. But when it talks about them shaking and so forth and trembling and such, that simply means that, you know, our world is turned upside down. And that's really what's happening to us right now is a world. Our world is really mixed up. It's just stirred up. That which at one time was strong and solid, the mountains that held and the earth and so forth that we depend upon being so solid and firm is shaken. And things are stirred up. And trouble is everywhere. And where are we going to run to? What are we going to do? Where's our dependence? Fear not, God is our refuge, he says here. Even though the rivers and the streams were, it's going to be made glad. He talks about here the mountains shake and the swellings thereof. And we're experiencing throughout the land floods and tornadoes and destruction of properties and lives by floods and so forth that's taking place. Something is happening in our world that just has turned things around, not the way that God would really have them to go. And this man has done that because we've run to the wrong places for help. And God has allowed us to do that. He gives us the freedom to do that. And that's one of the greatest things that God has done is give us freedom. But sometimes we use our freedom in the wrong way. And when we use our freedom to go and do the things the way we want to do it, sometimes it's the wrong way to do it. And we need to realize and run to God. He is our strength. He is our, you know, Isaiah 4:1-10 says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am the God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God will always do that which is right for us if we will yield over to him, as Isaiah says here. I know in Joshua 1:9, you know, and you remember the story of Joshua. And Joshua now is going into Canaan land, and he's going to root out all the Canaanites and so forth and take over the land that God had promised them there. Joshua 1:9 says, have not I commanded thee? Have not I commanded thee to be strong and to be of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest, whatever thou doest. I'll stop there a moment and say this. Fear is a tremendous thing, and fear causes people to do things that they should not do. And they act too quick and get into worse Dutch. But when I went to have this operation, I went with no fear at all. There wasn't a fear in my mind, in my body. When I laid down on that bed there on a Friday morning, and I knew it was going to be a long stretch. I didn't know it was going to be 18 hours, but I knew it was going to be a long stretch. Right there at that point, I said, God, I'm backing out. I have nothing, no place to go except you, God. And God took me out of that. I knew nothing until 18 hours later. Don't remember a thing. Maxine told me a couple of things that took place in the recovery room, but I don't remember a thing. But not boastfully, folks, but I said, God, you're my strength, you're my help. I said, I've got prayers I know all over the place. I've got good doctors, I know that. And people's going to care for me. But God, I'm laying it all on you. You're my refuge. You're my safe place. You're my help in a time of trouble. And Lord, I'm really in trouble. I was really in trouble. And it comes through. And it comes through. So, you know, I kind of hate to go this route, but I have to. Because I see some things happening in people's lives. And I just want to encourage you, if it's happening in your life, don't fear what's going on. Just give it to the Lord. He's our strength. He's our refuge. He's our safe place. I think possibly that in the minds of some people, hopefully not you, when they're ill and things are happening, they get to a point where they just almost looking and thinking of everything else but God. But I've come to learn that you have to realize God is our source, and he has to be first. I don't say he has to be first. We ought to put him first. We ought to go there first. Go there first. So I say to you, in your ills and in your troubles, whatever you're faced with in life, you'll go to the Lord first. Go to the Lord first. I believe you'll experience greater, greater and wonderful, more wonderful things. Turn it all over to him. In times of trouble, in times of illness, in times of conflict, whatever it might be, he's our strength. Therefore, we're able to stand in the midst of troubles. And praise God, we can do it. He's our rescuer in times of trouble. He's our refuge. Look, God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. And we don't often find ourselves going to God until we find ourselves in trouble, do we? And I think that's why that verse says that, you know. It's not keeping us from trouble. And I think sometimes trouble comes our way, and God uses that in such a wonderful way to teach us some great lessons. Sometimes I don't know what, you know, all comes out of some of the things. And how many times have you looked, you know, and you've looked back and you've seen what God has tried to tell you, God has wanted to tell you. Hezekiah, if you just listened to what Isaiah said, you wouldn't have been out all the fear. You wouldn't have been all the grief. You wouldn't have been all the trouble of getting all these allies and doing all this and being worried and so forth. You wouldn't even have to drill the through the rock to get the water. He wouldn't have done that if he'd listened to Isaiah. You know. So sometimes you won't have to do what you do if you'll just listen to what God tells you to do. You feel right? You know? Just listen to what he says. Do what he says. And you won't have to do some of those things that you would rather not do. So God is our strength, and therefore we are able to stand in the midst of troubles. I think we go on and say also, we get ourselves in trouble sometimes, and he's our rescuer. You know, he rescues us. How many times, you know, you've seen people even out on the ice and they break through and someone comes out to rescue them. You've seen time after time animals get out on ice and they get rescued. And that's like us with our troubles, with our difficulties, our problems. Sometimes we get out on ice and we break through. And then we have to be rescued. Well, God's our rescuer. He rescued us from sin through Jesus Christ, his son. He rescued us from the pits of hell through Christ Jesus and give us hope of eternal life. And if he can rescue from that, he can rescue you from whatever you're faced with. Whatever your difficulty is, whatever your problem is, whatever your trouble with, God can rescue you from that. You're in it. Look to God. Look to God, and he'll get you out of it. Trust him. God is our rescue in time of trouble. Now, what's this say to us? One big thing I think it says here. God is our refuge, strength, and very present trouble. I think the greatest thing I get here is this. God is accessible. I'm afraid that oftentimes, and I find this certainly in people weak of faith. I'm so glad that we got people here so strong in faith. That they just don't realize what God will do. And I think that one of the reasons they don't realize what God will do is they don't know what God can do. Hezekiah should have known that God had rescued his people many, many times. God had got his people out of trouble many, many times. And he should not have feared. He should have just trusted God. And I want to encourage you, don't fear when those things come upon you. Trust in God. God has got you out of some things before. He's helped you before. I thank the Lord God. I about every day as I do my prayers and early in the morning and so forth and talk to the Lord and I can look back and see in my family, in our family, Maxine and my family, and along with us and Maxine and so forth, I can look and see where God has brought us through those, our health issues. Our health issues. Every one of our children, and Maxine can verify this, every one of our children we have seen at the death's door. Carol J., I've told you the story before about Carol J. We took her to the doctor here in Dry Ridge years ago. She was still home. And he says she's got a stomach virus. And that went on for about a week, and she wasn't getting better. She was worse and worse. And finally, on a Monday morning, we woke up, and she wasn't better. And I told Maxie, we're going to Northern Kentucky. And we took her to Northern Kentucky, and the doctor said, she's got ruptured appendix, and she needs to be operated on right now. And that doctor told us that tomorrow she would have been dead. Tomorrow she would have been dead. We saw our oldest daughter, and I can see her now as I was at her house, and she's laying on her bed. And I tell you, when I left her that night, I was so distraught because I thought I would not see her alive again. Shoddy. If it had not been for one of her bosses who had an inroad with a doctor, and he came then and he called that doctor and got her there, and she was there last week. I can remember working and got a phone call out on the job, and Maxine had called me, and Tammy was having some troubles and problems. And she said they're even wanting her to sign, I forget, will thing or something, you know. And to me that meant, hey, this might be death. And so I rush home, get to the hospital and so forth, and she was very ill. And praise God, you've seen our daughters. I say that not boastfully. I don't say that. How can I say that? I want to say that as humble as I can. Every time that I was by the bedside of those girls, God is my refuge. God is my strength. God is my help in the times of trouble. Completely emptied myself to God. And God blessed us in such a wonderful way. I think that five verse here, this psalm, is one of the greatest comforts of all psalms, and they're all comforting. To know, God, we live in a troubled world, and we're troubled so often. Nobody's free from it. There's another word for that. You have troubles. You have troubles. I have troubles. We all have troubles. But we have a God that works with troubles. Praise God. Always depend on him. What am I saying this morning is this, and the only thing I wanted to say is, you know, folks, if whatever you do, whatever's happening, never, ever, ever, never, ever forget God is our safe place. He's our refuge. He's our help. He's our strength. Christ Jesus proved that to us very well. He's our all in all for all. Is he all for you? Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I hope that as you think on that, that chapter, that psalm will always be one of the greatest comforts that you ever have. When troubles arise, go to God first. Maybe this morning you need to come to God. Maybe you have some troubles. And maybe you're trying to get help other places. The only place to go is to God. Stan, we're going to sing the first verse of our invitation hymn. And what that is asking, God is offering to us, to you, to me, to anyone, his strength, his help in the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of our troubles and our problems, whatever it is that we're faced with. We're going to give them over to him. If you have any you want to give over to him, come this morning. Sing the first verse only.
Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And God richly bless you. That you never forget where your safe place is. It's with God. This is a safe place to be right here. People of God. There's no place like God being with God, period. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our refuge, that you are our help in the time of trouble. And as we live in this troubled world, and we have trouble all around us, and we're subject to the troubles that exist, we come to you, Almighty God, knowing that you and you alone have the answer to all our problems, all the difficulties, all the trouble we have. So I pray, Heavenly Father, for each one of us here this morning, that whatever it might be in our hearts and our lives and our minds that we're troubled with, that we just yield it over to you, lay it in your lap, dear God, and sit back and be still and know that you're God and that you'll work it out for us because we love you and you love us. Now we ask that you be with our people as we leave this place today. Go with them, Heavenly Father. Make this a good week for them, we pray. For those who have appointments with the doctors and so forth, we pray that they'll work out good. For Virgil, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll be strengthened and be back with us. For Omer, we do pray, Heavenly Father, that those things will come about and the things will be done that needs to be done for him this week, dear God. For others, we just pray, Heavenly Father, that good things will come to them, that they will be strengthened. Help us, Heavenly Father, to really deeply realize you are our strength. You are our help. You are our all in all. Help us to never forget that. Help us to live toward it, Almighty God. Help us to be blessed with your strength, with your guidance, your help throughout this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.